Hi, I'm Wayne Jones. Welcome to Writing and Editing. Before I introduce the guest and topic for this episode, I wanted to tell you one thing and ask you another. First is that I've now got a standalone website for the podcast with all the episodes there and extra information as well. Check it out at writingediting.ca. Second is a request. If you haven't already, I'd really appreciate it if you'd give me a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. I specify Apple because it's kind of become the de facto site where ratings and reviews are accessed by others who want to find out about whether a podcast is any good or not. Anyway, that's it for the announcements. On with the show. This is episode 135, Editing, Flow in Writing, Getting Clients, and Writing Social Media. My guest is Louise Harris, who is an editor and writer based in St. Petersburg, Florida. We focus on her editing work, including blog posts and press releases, but also have an extended discussion about the importance of flow to the reader. Hi, Louise. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Wayne. It's great to be here.
Oh, there was a thank you for that musical introduction. That was very, very nice. you've had a very, varied career. And I mean, I think about 30 years of it was in editing, or still is, I mean, in editing. But you've done journalism and you've written books as well. And I wonder if, just to start off, you could give listeners an idea of your, you know, what you've done in editing, what you've done in journalism, and your books as well.
Okay, absolutely. Well, I always knew that I wanted to be a writer. I was paid, so I was a published author at age 12 for my first poem. And so in high school, I was on the newspaper and I was in the yearbook, because I knew I was going to go into journalism because I knew that I wanted to write. So I went to the University of Maryland College of Journalism. And when I graduated, I actually became an editor for a wire service. So I have been an editor since I graduated college. And I chose print over broadcast because I had a very bad experience at Channel 6 in Philadelphia for TV. So I went into print. And then a couple years after I got married, I was unemployed and I was looking for a job. And back then, this is early 90s, they didn't have internet, so you couldn't search for a job. So right. I went to the University of Maryland's job board, and on it was someone looking for an assistant editor, but she was actually looking for a freelance assistant editor. So that's actually how I started my business, but I was still going full time and doing my business at the same time. So for her, it was a newsletter in the environmental space. So I was editing her newsletter. And then she introduced me to other people who were in the environment space, and I was editing their newsletters. So I went from wire service to newsletters. Then I was doing blogs, and my business just kind of evolved as technology evolved.
Right.
So that is why I have pretty much experience in doing everything. And I also worked for, when I was in Baltimore, a small publisher, and I was the managing editor for the small publisher. So that's how I got into book publishing. So I am very varied in my editing skills. So,
yeah, no, that is. And eventually, of course, you also have personal clients now as well, too, right? You're a freelance editor.
Well, I have gone. My husband actually moved. He was having issues getting. Well, it's a long story, but we had to move to Arizona when he was working at NASA. And the Columbia blew up, and the first job he could get was in Mesa, Arizona. So we moved to Gilbert, Arizona, which is a suburb of Phoenix. And at that time, I was working full time and freelancing, but I switched to freelancing because it was easier to move across the country if I was freelancing as
Sure.
opposed to having a full-time job. So
Makes
it
sense.
is very advantageous to be a writer-editor because I can work from anywhere. So whenever my husband moved, I moved with him. So, and that's pretty much when I started full-time freelancing, was during our Arizona, when we moved to Arizona. So that's
Yeah.
kind of when my business flipped. And so yes,
Yeah.
I do have personal clients now, but
Yeah. And speaking of your business, that was one of the things that I noticed when I was looking at your website. It's not that it's unique, but what I really noticed when, because I've looked at lots and lots of editors' websites, and generally speaking, what you will see is a kind of a focus on books, and they might be talking about, oh, I do nonfiction rather than fiction, or I'm a YA specialist, or I specialize in genre stuff like mystery and fantasy and stuff like that. But when you go to your website, you've got a long list of things that are, I think books are listed there, but the
Yes.
list also includes things like email blasts and social media posts and
Yes, and
postcards and all that stuff. And
again,
I
it
guess
goes
what.
back to my experience starting in newsletters, and it, but I also have found with a lot of authors is they don't know how to market their books. So once they get to that phase where it's published, then they come to me for the marketing advice as well. So that's why a lot of that stuff is on there, because I provide the email blast for them and the social media. And I also, and as I mentioned earlier, as technology evolved, so did my business. So I have experience in newsletters, I have experience in blogs, and I have experience in, so why not put that on there and make money from it? So.
Yeah, no, it's something because it's actually I think it's either that a lot of editors don't think of doing that, and so clients will never find it as something that who's going to do it for them, or they do it themselves, and of course a lot of people think oh I can write this, but not
Yes.
necessarily, right? And an editor, and I'm not just promoting our profession here, but
No.
a professional editor looking at what you've written is a real necessity if you want to, especially if you're imagining someone wanting to promote their own book,
Right.
that has to be a good piece of writing,
Yes.
so I, that was really noticeable. And what I wondered is how, I mean, I'm not asking for a percentage, but
How often
let's
do I do one or the other?
yeah, how, like
Well,
what
I
portion
pretty
of
much
the.
I can provide all those services, but pretty much people come to me for three specific services, and that's press releases, blogs, and manuscripts.
Right.
But I, when they do need those other services, I have the capability to provide it. But those are very, really small amounts of how I do my work. And the manuscripts probably take up the most of my time, and press releases, because I can crank them out so quickly. I do a lot of those. But for the most part, the email blasts and the newsletters and the social media, I do them when people ask me, but they're not really a high priority, and
Yeah.
I don't really focus on them.
Oh, well, that narrows it down. And when you say the blogs, do you mean writing posts or editing posts?
I do both.
Yeah.
I had there was several companies who come to me. They have their own blog, and they just need me to polish it. And then there are companies that don't want to write it at all, so then I write it for them.
Right. Right. They would give you the
The
topic or the
topic, right?
outline or
Yes.
something like that. Yeah. Fascinating, how you're
I'm sorry,
are you
the
it's like you're in the middle of the Indianapolis 500.
I'm really not. I'm actually, there's an old down the street is a village green for older people, 55 and older. So, and then it dead ends. So they're really, I don't know why we have motorcycles come on our street, but we
It's
do.
motorcycles. I see. Okay, that's what it is. Okay. As long as it's not the apocalypse and it's a monster of some kind, that's okay. We'll continue with the interview. So,
I'm sorry that you'll have to do all that editing later,
no.
but
Actually, I make it a point of pride that I don't do that editing for that kind of reason, like the take of things like that. I do a single take usually, and so when we hear this, you'll hear those motorcycles, no problem.
would you like me to close my windows? Because I
No,
can hear
all is good. All is
that.
good. Don't worry about it. It's all good. I can hear you.
Oh, great.
I wanted to ask also, since you've had partly because you've been talking about the internet and partly you've been talking about that as being a portion of your work, have you done a like a detailed SEO strategy to get new clients, or do you
Not
just get return
really.
clients, or what?
Because I've written a lot for other companies about SEO, I do understand SEO. So I had my website redesigned last year, I think, and I specifically asked the company to make sure it was optimized for search engines. But that really is as far as I go is on my SEO. I do periodically update my website with a blog, and I'm more frequent with updating it with video content. But because I'm doing all this work for other people, I don't really have time to do it for myself. So it kind of gets pushed off to the burner. Now, as far as marketing myself, I do that in different ways. I go to events. And I get a lot of book clients through events because I hand out a postcard that says, do you want a professional writer? And that usually gets me a lot of business that way. And also, there are a lot of first-time authors who are looking for editors at those type events, and instead, all they see are other book authors. And then I show up, and I'm a editor. So then they get excited.
Right,
So
yeah.
I also so I do a lot of events, and I do things like this, interviews with you, and that also helps get me a lot of business. But believe it or not, that postcard I was talking about, I have gotten more business off that postcard, and it was an $80 investment.
Imagine that. And it's paper, right? It's on paper.
it's
Yeah,
printed.
there you go.
Yes.
That's crazy. You know, who knew that the postcard was the best SEO investment you could make?
It really is. But mostly I tell my clients that they should be in as many different avenues as possible. And I try to live that same philosophy. So I do social media, and I do have an internet presence, and I do a blog, and I do videos, and I go to events, and I have my printed materials. So that's pretty much how I get my business.
But I think that's a lot. I know, again, it's not that I've seen every single website, but a lot of editors, they have everyone. If you don't have a website, I don't think you have any kind of credibility at all. So
Right.
everyone has a website, but not a lot. There's a real variance in how much people just put it there with their rates and what I do and that sort of thing. But
Yeah,
there's a lot of
definitely.
variation in whether people add a video or have a blog or have a podcast or have a whatever. There's a huge amount of
Right.
variation from 0 to 100, so
Right. And
yeah.
I do know what you're talking about. I've seen those from zero, those that are 100% on the extreme good end and 100% on the extreme. I'm not giving out any information. Yeah.
Right. I've also seen ones, that they don't, they use editing lingo that a client is not going to understand. And I
Right.
always feel sorry for those because I don't, the you have to write it for someone who doesn't know anything about editing and tell them about it, or at least define your terminology.
One
So,
thing they teach you in journalism school, do not use jargon, do not use acronyms, do not use anything that'll confuse your reader. So,
yeah, no, and yeah, clear, simple, clean. Yeah, no, that's a good practice. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, and I'm not sure if I've ever asked any, I've interviewed several editors on this podcast, but in all the stuff that you do, What are the kinds of, in people's writing, what are the kinds of mistakes or bad tendencies that you frequently see?
Well, the biggest one that I see is flow.
Is what?
Flow. A
Flow.
book is supposed to flow like a river from chapter to chapter till you get to the end.
Right.
A lot of times, especially with the nonfiction books that I edit, there's no flow, and I have to explain to them why they need to have that flow. A second thing that always comes up is Microsoft spell checker says something is spelled correctly and it's actually misspelled because the person who programmed the spell checker didn't know how to spell it. And then
Right.
I have so then I have to explain to them why that is why I'm correct and the computer is incorrect. But I think the other and the authors also make assumptions that readers are going to know things when they don't, and I have to take them back a step and say, okay, I don't think your readers, you got to think this is a person who has not had any experience with this topic at all, and they're going not going to know what you're talking about. And that goes back to the jargon issue because,
Right.
just like writers, anybody else will have a jargon in their industry and they tend to use their jargon. And then I think the biggest one that I come across a lot is authors that who don't want me to cut something. I don't think it's necessary and it slows down the story or it slows down the topic. And they don't want me to cut it because it's their baby and words matter to them. And so I think that's the area I have the hardest time with authors.
That's
They don't want
interesting. I bet you know it, but please say it. Please say the phrase for what editors use what, for that tendency. You already mentioned the word babies, but do you know what the phrase? You know what the phrase
throw the
is?
baby out with the bathwater.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's kill your babies. And the
Yes.
idea is has nothing to do with abortion. It has to do
Oh,
with
I know.
Exactly. People get attached, a writer gets attached to a certain paragraph for what, or a chapter for whatever reason. And yeah, they resist cutting it because it took a lot of time or whatever. But you as an editor can in objectively see that it doesn't fit, it's poorly written or whatever it might
Right,
be.
yeah.
You have to kill that baby. Yeah, that's it's a very gruesome term, but that's the term that writers use. You have to kill
I
your
have
babies.
heard
Yeah.
that term. After you said it, I have heard it. So, yes.
That's it. That's interesting. Yeah, no, that's I've had that with some of the clients I've worked with where I've had to you have a not a disagreement in a negative sense, but you have a different view of something than they do. And it's of course it's always their call in the end. And
Right.
if I think it's important enough, I will reiterate my objection to it. But in the end, I'm not going to, argue about it. The kind of thing is their call. But I will
Right.
alert them that, in my professional opinion, it shouldn't be there, or it should be changed, or
Right.
whatever the matter might be. Yeah.
Yes, and I have that experience too. And in most cases, they cede to my expertise. But once in a while, they're just emphatic, and I'm like you. I just give it to them. I'm like, okay, but just remember, this is my reputation as an editor too. So.
Right. And you've done your, obviously you can't go to their Word document at home at their place and fix it. I mean, you've done what you can. You've done your
Right.
professional duty. And there's and the other thing I wanted to ask and say and ask about flow is that I always feel that that applies. You were saying it from chapter to chapter, but another thing is that it also applies from paragraph to paragraph.
Yes, paragraph to
And
paragraph, yes.
not all writers have that
They
either.
no, they don't. And that is the reason that every book should have a professional editor. Because just because you write something doesn't mean it's going to flow well. And you a professional editor, like you said, is objective so that editor can see whether it's going to flow or not
Yeah.
and make it work. one of the books I'm working on now, it's he ha is an expert on back pain and back surgeries. And he wanted to put in a chapter on martial arts, which I didn't have a problem with because there's a lot of martial arts that that help relieve back pain. But I was
Right.
trying to connect it to all the stuff that came before, and he didn't want me to connect it. And I kept saying, well, it's got to flow. You've got to have a connection. And we finally came up with a way to make it work, but he was dead set against. He wanted it just this way, and I was like, oh, that's not going to work. So, but he finally listened to me. So that's an example of why
Yeah.
it wasn't flowing. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's really interesting to see that. And because what you don't want is the reader, just in flow in general, you don't want the reader sort of coming up against a wall like that where
Right. And
they're stopped somehow, and that's not good.
or it's so jarring, like they think, why is this here? This shouldn't be here.
Yeah. Just like that shouldn't have been there.
My phones are really giving you a
All is good, no problem. I hope that's the worst thing that happens to me today. I'll be pretty good. I'll be pretty well off. So, but sorry,
making it a lively episode, that's for sure.
continue your thought though about the reader coming up. You were talking about
Yeah,
flow and the
right.
reader.
So if something, when I read a story, and this is actually goes to how I edit, I always print it out first and read through it before I actually start editing, because that gives me a sense of how it's going to fit together. And also, when you print it and read it on paper, this goes to my background in print, you catch more mistakes that way too. And so when I read something and it stops me as a reader, then I question why is that there? And then I suggest to the author, well, this isn't working, and it may not fit for what you want it to
Yeah.
what your point is. So that's how I usually get into the flow topic, is because I'll read it and it won't sound right when I'm reading it. So
Yeah. No, I consider that to be, I'm glad you mentioned that because I consider flow overall to be very, very important because you can have all the facts right and everything, and one would pres whether it's back pain or World War II or whatever it might be, but the structure and the order are very, very important for the message, or, so to speak, to get across.
right.
Yeah.
And yes, and that's what I was talking mostly about nonfiction, because I do a lot more nonfiction than I do fiction, but I do edit fiction as well. And the same issue comes up whether it's fiction or nonfiction. It's
Totally. Yep.
so you still have to make sure everything goes from one point to the next point without jarring the reader, because if you're right. If the reader is stopped in any way, they're not going to pick up that book again. That's it. That's, you have one shot at it.
Yeah,
So.
that's exactly right. They might give you the first jarring bit, but once they get a second one, they'll be moving on to another book.
Right.
Exactly. Anyway, Louise, this has been really fascinating, educational, a little noisy at times, but really good. Thanks very much for coming on. I
I
appreciate it.
appreciate you inviting me, and I really had a good time. And can I provide my website information, or do you do that afterwards?
I'll, for listeners out there, in the show notes, I'll put links to Louise didn't mention also that she writes books. I'll put links to that, to the editing and everything there. So please have a look there in the show notes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
All right,
Louise.
have a good day.
You too, bye. And that's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. Check out the show's website at writingediting.ca to find links to subscribe or contact me, to rate or review the podcast, and even to be a guest. I'll be back on Monday. Please join me.